Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Well, hello everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Go and Teach radio program presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ. Happy New Year to you. It's the first episode of 2013. My name is Brian Sheely, and I'll be filling in for Brother Ken Leach while he's out this morning. Well, I hope you've had a great first few days of the new year. If you're anything like me, you've probably been thinking about the year 2012 and considering what it is that you'd like to change in the year 2013. A lot of times around this season, people will make resolutions and they'll want to get more physically fit and they'll want to, you know, stop these bad habits that they have and all kinds of things. Keeping in line with that, this morning I want to talk about a goal that we should have for this new year. Something that will be of great value to us if we put into practice in our life, and hopefully something that will help us throughout our daily walk with God. And that is to take time every day to be quiet. It seems like the world that we live in thrives on being busy. You know, we can get so easily caught up in the frantic chaos of this world. And if your life is anything like mine, you probably jump out of bed at the very last minute, having hit snooze a bunch of times. You jump into the shower, you get yourself ready, you run out the door, and you sit in rush hour traffic on the way to work. Once you finally get in, you're bombarded with a barrage of emails and phone calls and text messages and meetings you have to attend. It seems like we're barely able to even find time to catch a bite to eat in the afternoon, when we have to go attend more meetings and go take care of other client issues. And finally, by the end of the day, we get back into our car, we drive home, and we've got to take the kids to soccer practice or to their piano lessons. And we don't even really have time to eat in the evening, so we have to stop through the drive-thru and grab a couple of burgers and eat them in the car. And by the end of our day, what have we really done? What have we really accomplished? It seems that all we've really done is to be distracted by all of these activities in our life. At the end of the day, have we spent the time doing the things that we say we value the most? Or have we just been busy? Have we just been caught up in the chaos? We should make a goal this coming year to find a peaceful moment of quiet every day. And the reason why I think this is so valuable is because Jesus did it regularly. Throughout the Gospels, we constantly see examples of Jesus getting away from the busyness and chaos of life to go off and to be alone and to be quiet. Over in Luke's Gospel, if you have a Bible, want to turn over to Luke chapter 5, we'll read in verse 16 here. Luke 5 and verse 16 says, "Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." This is something that he often did. He would go off to be alone, to be quiet, and to get away from the chaos and busyness of life and pray. In the next chapter, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, Luke says, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." So not only did Jesus take maybe just a few moments of quiet, but he actually spent all night in quiet prayer to God. If you look over at Mark's Gospel in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, we see Mark saying how in the morning Jesus rose a long while before daylight and he went out and departed to a solitary place and there he prayed. Notice that Jesus went out to go and be alone and he left at the crack of dawn. So Jesus got up early to go off and to be alone and to pray. In chapter 6 and verse 46, after Jesus had fed the multitude, He had sent them away. In verse 46, he departed to the mountain to pray. So finding a time of quiet was something that Jesus often did throughout his life. And maybe most notably is the example that we have of Jesus going off to be alone in the Garden of Gethsemane before his trial and his crucifixion. He went off to be alone, to be quiet. Well, yes, he had three of his disciples there with him, but they were asleep and he was off a distance away, alone, praying to God. Let's look this morning at why quiet time is so beneficial and how we can use these moments of quiet to become more devoted to God. I think that when we acknowledge when something is valuable, when we understand that some activity or action is valuable, we'll actually go further to put that into practice in our life. And let's acknowledge the great value that a quiet moment holds. You know, we're going to seek out opportunities when we value quiet to escape from the chaos of the day. In order for us to help see the great value of quiet time in our life, let's look at three men of great faith in God's word and see how they took quiet time throughout their lives to better themselves and how they escaped the distractions of daily life and took quiet time to devote their minds to God. We'll look at how these great men of faith made quiet time to pray, how they made quiet time to meditate on God's word, and how they made quiet time to sit in front of the mirror of self-examination. Let's first begin here with talking about making quiet time to pray. And in order to help us see the great value in making quiet time to pray, let's look at the example of a man named Daniel. If you have a Bible and turn over to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, we'll read there in just a few minutes. Daniel's a very familiar character to most all of us. He was a man of great courage and great faith, and he stood before a den of lions ready to eat him with great conviction and trust in the Lord. King Darius had signed a law that in those days that nobody should be allowed to pray to any other gods for 30 days. And Daniel, when he heard this law had been signed, in verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6, as soon as he knew that this law was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. You see, Daniel had made a custom of praying three times a day. Daniel valued going off regularly throughout the day into his home, into the upper room, opening up the windows toward Jerusalem and kneeling down and praying to God. You see, he didn't change his practice when hearing that the decree was signed. He didn't say spitefully, "Well, you won't allow me to pray, Darius, so I'm going to go off and pray just to spite you." No, he continued doing what he had always done, as it says was his custom since his early days. Daniel valued his quiet time of prayer to God, and it was something that helped increase his faith. And what a great blessing it is that we would be able to speak with our Creator through this powerful avenue of prayer. You know, it seems to me that prayer is so vital to our spiritual life. It's so important to us that we take time to pray. And Paul felt that it was so important that he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 that we should pray without ceasing. That means we should have a habit of praying, just like Daniel did. We should be praising God, thanking Him, asking for His great mercy and help, and confessing our trespasses to Him throughout the day. It seems like in the times when we're not busy, we often fill up our day doing things of little value, like watching television, or checking Facebook, or surfing the internet. You know, maybe it's time to turn off the television. Maybe it's time to put down the iPhone. Maybe it's time to close the lid on the laptop and instead take that opportunity to pray. Yeah, maybe you're sitting around the TV with your family or with your friends. Maybe it's time instead to devote yourselves collectively to to praying to God. You know, for me, I used to live pretty far away from my work, and I would have a 45-minute to an hour-long commute sometimes. And I found that taking that time, not to listen to music or not to listen to the radio or podcasts, I found that taking that time to pray severely changed the way that I spent the rest of my day, severely changed my attitude throughout that day. We can pray when we're in rush hour traffic. We can pray when we're standing in line at the grocery store. And I think it's a much more valuable use of our time than maybe looking at all the candy and gum that's there for us or looking at all the tabloid magazines. We can take that opportunity in quiet patience to pray to the Lord. We can pray when we're standing in the shower or shoveling rocks or doing yard work. We need to find time to pray. And I guarantee you that if you take quiet time throughout the day to go to your Lord in prayer, it'll change the way that you live. It'll change your attitude and your actions throughout the day. We also need to make quiet time to meditate on God's word. And in order to help us see the great value in that, in meditating on God's word, let's look at the example of a man named David. Yeah, we know David. We're familiar with David. He was the king of Israel. He was a powerful and courageous warrior. But before he was King David, David started out life as a humble shepherd. And as a humble shepherd at that time, you know, it meant that he was out in the fields in quiet, in silence, listening only to the sounds of the bleating of sheep. David would spend this quiet time thinking about God and thinking about God's word. You know, and later on in life, we see that David never forgot about making time to be alone and quiet, especially when considering God's holy word. David was one of the writers of some of the best poetry in God's word. And if you turn over to Psalm 63 and verse 6, we can see how dedicated David was to taking quiet time to meditate. He says, "When I remember you on my bed," in Psalm 63, verse 6, "when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches." You see, David valued God's word so much that he thought about it and considered it throughout the night. Throughout his thoughts in bed, he was awake thinking about God's word. And he would go even further to explain how much time he spent thinking about God's word in Psalm 119. It's one of my favorite psalms. Psalm 119 is basically David's A to Z account of how God's word is amazing. In the 147th verse of Psalm 119, David says, "I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word." You see, David would wake up early and he would go to bed late just so he could think about the precious word of God. The Bible has great power to change our life. And we understand the great power that it has when we think about it and consider it. But the Bible has no power to change your life if it just sits on the shelf. David understood that he had to carry God's word continually, every day in his heart, to avoid sin in his life. There in the 119th Psalm, in verse 11, David says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." David understood that the great power of God's word was when it was in his heart, when it was in his mind, when he was thinking about it. And that would help him to not sin against God. The Apostle Paul felt that meditation was so important to the life of a believer that in his letter to the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 4, he told them that the end of all of these things, the conclusion or the summary of his letter, was focused on meditation. He says in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Paul wants us to think about wholesome things, to think about God's word, and to meditate on these things. When we make time throughout the day to fill our minds with wholesome things, with things pleasing to God, it's going to change our thoughts. And when our thoughts change, our attitudes will change. And when our attitudes change, our actions will change throughout the rest of the day. You know, one of the greatest things that we can do is to wake up early and to study God's word, to study God's word before we go to bed. And my challenge to you for the year 2013 is to pick a verse or a collection of verses throughout the day and stop and consider them when you have quiet moments. And one of the things that's very popular is to go and follow a daily Bible reading program. And if you're interested in doing that, a simple Google search for daily Bible reading will bring up a lot of schedules and calendars for you to follow, where you can go in and read certain verses throughout the day and complete reading the Bible in a whole year, or maybe 2 years or 3 years. Another project that's of great value in my mind is stopping and every day copying down a passage from God's word into your own handwriting, into a book that you've put together. And this was actually a command that God had given to the kings in the Old Testament, that they should go and make a copy of the law. Why? So that they would know it, so that they'd be familiar with it. And one of the great ways for us to be familiar with God's word is to write it down and to copy it, to hold it in our hearts and think about it throughout the day. And so we should pray in the quiet times. We should meditate in the quiet times. But we also need to make quiet time to examine ourselves. And in order to help us see the great value in examining ourselves, we need to look at a man of great courage and determination, a man named Nehemiah. If you turn in your Bibles into the Old Testament in the book of Nehemiah, we'll read in the first chapter in just a few minutes. But Nehemiah was a man of great passion and determination, though he was only a cupbearer to the king. And when he heard about the fact that the walls of Jerusalem lay in ruin, and that the survivors there were in great distress, he was very sad, and he sat alone for many days, fasting and praying. And the contents of his prayer help us to see how Nehemiah was a man who took that quiet time to examine himself. He said in verse 6, "I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses." You see Nehemiah as he sat alone in quiet and prayed to God, was able to admit that it was the sins of his people and it was his own sins that caused this great tragedy. Taking this time to be alone, Nehemiah considered his actions, considered the actions of his nation, and was able to rightly assess that they were in sin and they needed the forgiveness of God. You God has promised us that he would forgive us of our sins. But we can only access this great power of forgiveness if we're honest with ourselves about the sin in our life. If we honestly take a moment to examine what it is that we've decided to do, how it is that we've transgressed God's law, and if we confess those sins to him. Paul wanted the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 to get real with themselves, and to not be so arrogant about their standing in the faith. Paul warns them. He says, "Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." We need to take quiet time at the end of a busy day to honestly consider if our attitudes, if our activities, if the things we've done throughout the day have brought glory to God or have led us further away from Him. Taking time to examine ourselves is not easy, especially when we consider how busy our day is. We are so jam-packed with things and stuff going on that if we even have a moment to stop at the end of the day to consider what we've done, it's but a brief moment. We need to take quiet time at the end of every day and think about what it is that we've done and what we can do better for the Lord. And hopefully we'll be able to be honest with ourselves and make the corrections where necessary. So to sum up, life is busy. Life is distracting. Life is full of things vying for our attention. You know, probably right now you have your smartphone with you and it's probably vibrating off the hook and, you know, telling you that you've got an email, telling you that somebody's mentioned you on Facebook. Someone's probably sending you a text message or a video chat request. We're just so packed with things. Our to-do list is ever growing. Our calendar is always filling up. There's always more things to do and never enough time in the day to do it. We need to recognize the great value in taking quiet time to be alone, to be quiet, and to make that time throughout the day to bring glory to God. We need to develop in those quiet moments a habit of daily prayer, going to God, confessing our trespasses to Him, praising His glorious name, asking for His great mercy to forgive us of our sins, and asking Him to be with us and to help us and to give us the things that we need. We need to develop a quiet time to study God's Word and to think about God's Word and meditate on it every day. What a great value it is to hide the Word of God in our heart every day so that we don't sin against Him and so that we can share that great message with our friends and our family. And when we hide the Word of God in our heart, when we hold it in our mind and think about it, it will change our attitude, it'll change our actions, it'll change the things that we choose to do and place priority on throughout the day. And we need to take quiet time to stop and to think about our life honestly every day. You know, if today was the last day that you had, would you have done exactly what you wanted to do? And if not, we need to make corrections and we need to change. We need to do better. I want to sum up here by reading Psalm 131. Psalm 131 is another great, great psalm of David, and it's only 3 verses long, easily something we can hold in our hearts. David says, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever." David trusted in God. David hoped in the promises that God had made to him. And it was because of this great trust and this great hope that Paul was not caught up in the busyness of life. He wasn't caught up in all of the frantic chaos going on. He understood the great value in a calmed and quieted soul. And my prayer for you today is that throughout this coming year, you'll take time to be quiet, to pray to God, to meditate on His Word, and to consider your life with honesty and make sure you are living a life pleasing to the Lord. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Go and Teach radio program, and I wish you a happy and quiet new year.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monta Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.